Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey, welcome to the nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my second-in-command here, Reynolds, high atop the radio world in Portland. And hello to all of our affiliates down the line at the Radio Northwest Network. We're a little bit less than 50 days till the election, and that has absolutely nothing to do with today's show, but I just thought I would mention it. As you know, here on the nation, we talk to owners and purveyors of barbecue establishments around the metro area from time to time. And, well, there is a new kid in town, you might say, and you kind of got to love the name, Swine Dining. I love that. Swine Dining Barbecue and Brew, officially, out in Gresham. And so today on the nation, we're joined by Dan Reinders. I said that right?
You correctly, yeah.
I did. who had a dream to own and operate his own barbecue joint. I don't know if they can be called barbecue restaurants. To me, they're always going to be barbecue joints.
Correct.
Yeah, yep. They're just that way. Anyway, Dan's dream has come true, and we'll talk to him in just a couple of seconds here. And today's music is courtesy of Bachman Turner Overdrive, or as we affectionately called them over the years in radio, Bachman Turner Overdose. Anyway, Dan, Swine Dining Barbecue and Brew, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think we saw the results of your efforts out there when we put the food on the red table and the marauding hordes came around from the sixth floor here and whoosh.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, there's nothing left of it already.
Yeah, it's pretty good. What prompted you to do this?
I've always wanted to have a barbecue place of my own.
Yeah.
Ever since I was little. I lived in Nebraska for a while, or for most of my life, I should say. Kansas City, too, and I love the Kansas City barbecue, and I just got the itch then, and just waiting for the right opportunity, and it finally came up 20 years later.
Yeah. Did you have a lot of personal barbecue experience?
Just a little bit. Just in my home cooking in the backyard, yeah. And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
So was the Kansas City style things that influenced you, you know, in your own private cooking?
I would think it did. Yeah. Yeah. I lived down there for a little while and Gates Barbecue and Zarda Barbecue down there is.
Oh yeah.
That always got me going.
That's interesting.
Yep.
A lot of people that own restaurants, or they always wanted to own a restaurant, if you will, or a barbecue joint. A lot of them have never had any restaurant experience. And I had a restaurant for a while, a long time ago, and I can tell you it's a whole different beast from operational standpoint.
Correct.
Your history, you were with Five Guys for a while?
Yes, I did Five Guys here in the local areas. I was the district manager for Five Guys for 7 years here.
Yeah.
And gave that up to pursue what I wanted to pursue.
So how did working for a corporate, I mean, even though Five Guys is not huge, huge like McDonald's, it's still got to have a corporate atmosphere. Not saying anything against them because, you know, I like their burgers and stuff.
Sure.
But how does coming out of a corporate thing and then going into your own restaurant, that's a change?
It's a lot different considering that with Five Guys, you can only order a certain amount of food or a certain amount of or a certain kind of beef and certain kind of bread and stuff like that. Well, right now I have liberty of shopping anywhere I want to, really.
Sure.
With it. And it makes it much, much easier, much more competitive for the U.S. Foods and the FSAs and Cisco's out there.
Sure.
Whether they want to give it to me or not.
Yeah. And what are you looking for, like, in your beef and pork? I mean, what consistencies do you, Dan, as a purveyor of Swine Dining, I just love that name, man. what do you look for?
I'm not necessarily looking for the best price. I'm looking for the best quality product is what I'm looking for. And right now I'm getting certified Angus beef for my brisket, which is top of the line when it comes to beef.
Sure.
So obviously that's makes the better product out of it and trimming it up and that kind of thing. Make sure there's not a whole lot of fat on it, because when I trim the brisket up, I mean, I got to pay for the fat that I throw away too.
Yeah.
So it all adds up that way.
You know, I was reading a deal, not to get off your subject for a second, but I was reading a deal the other day where what guys are doing now, and some people are experimenting with it, and it would be hard for you to do this with your setup out there, but when they're doing the actual charcoal cooking and stuff, they're actually cutting off pieces of the fat and letting that, they're dropping it down on the embers to get that extra flavor out of that. I thought that was kind of interesting, but, you know, for years we tried to stay away from that type of thing because we didn't want fires.
Yeah.
You know, and flare-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're throwing it back in. So anyway, what the hell? You know, you can do whatever you want out there. So
live and learn, I guess they say.
Live and learn. How did you decide on your menu?
I basically just going to different barbecue places, knowing what other people are having, what other people like.
Yeah.
And it's basically, I mean, a lot of it's just pulled pork and brisket and chicken. So that's basically what I'm doing.
Those are your big three in the barbecue world, especially in the competitive world. But any restaurant you go to, it's that. Would you consider sausage?
I have a sausage on my menu, a smoked sausage on my menu also.
Okay.
It's not that big of a seller as the other three are.
So did you do testing when you did this? I mean, I know you had some help from a friend in Nebraska doing this, but did you test the types of, or experiment, I should say, with the types of actual menu items you were going to put on there? Did you say, okay, a little more of this, a little less of that?
I'm still kind of doing that right now, as a matter of fact. I mean, I got a baked potato on there, what we call a stuffed baked potato or a loaded baked potato, and it doesn't seem to be selling as well as what I thought it would. I mean, we're still trying to test that kind of stuff out.
Winter's coming, though.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, they kind of carb up around here in the wintertime.
I've got some winter ideas, too. I got some chili, brisket chili and that kind of thing that'll be running in the wintertime for specials, and see how that kind of stuff goes too.
Well, we're talking with Dan Reinders from Swine Dining Barbecue and Brew. How did you come up with the name?
It's believe it or not, it's the same name back in Nebraska, Swine Dining. And I love the name. He told me that he would prefer if I look elsewhere for it. I did look elsewhere. I found a couple other names, but they were being used or copyrighted information. So I called the guy back up. And he said he would let me have it. So I love the name. I think the name is it.
It's pretty. Now, for full disclosure here, I've actually been to your restaurant. We came out there last week, tried it. Food was great. Atmosphere was great. I like it because you look around in the restaurant, and it's still a little new. You don't quite have enough grease on the walls yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've got the whole atmosphere thing going out there.
Yep. That's what I'm trying to do.
Any changes you see coming with that?
I'm just building it up still. I'm not done with it yet.
Yeah.
I still got some pictures to go up. I put some pictures up since you've been up there even.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different now.
You got to have those celebrity pictures, you know, Ferrari or Jeff Tracy, the cowboy cook. You got to have him on the wall.
As soon as I get somebody like you out there to take a picture, then I'll be all right.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. We'll do that. When you decided to go into the barbecue business, I mean, as you know, people think, when I'm talking to them out there, Dan, that it's kind of an easy deal. You know, yes, I've barbecued. I mean, this is their thought process. I've barbecued for years in my backyard or on my porch or deck or what have you. You know, and it's very easy. But when you're doing mass quantities of meat every day, if you're doing, you know, 80 pounds of brisket or whatever and 65 pounds of pulled pork, and to have all that stuff ready and consistent and that, there's a trick to it.
There is a very big trick to it. Oh, yeah. There is. I mean, we have our smoker going all night long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's overnight. The brisket takes about 14 to 16 hours to cook. The pork butts are about the same way.
Right.
We have to get in there about 7 o'clock in the morning. What we do is wrap them up and render the fat out of them. Then put them back in the smoker for a couple more hours that way. So there is a trick to it. And I haven't run out of pork or brisket yet, but I've run out of my ribs.
Really?
At night, yep. And because they take 3 to 4 hours to do them right, and I don't want to rush them. I don't want to put them in the microwave and heat them up faster or nothing like that.
I'd shoot you if you did that.
They're all done on the smoker.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a $20,000 smoker in there that we installed.
It's a good looking unit.
So
because I've been, like I said, folks, I've been there and I've seen it. And it's very clean and it's very nice. And what I was impressed with is when you opened up the door, you'd obviously been cooking in it because it's already been seasoned inside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You get that nice kind of peppery, barbecue-y, smoky aroma that comes out of there. It's very good.
Yep. Real wood. We have our wood pit over there, and we put wood in it constantly all day long, I think, just about.
Yeah.
Got things going.
Do you chop your own wood?
No. not yet. I don't have big enough apple trees. Not yet.
Real quick here, we want to thank the Mount Angel Sausage Company for their support of the Quack Shack at the Ducks home games. Mount Angel Sausage Company, and that being James Hoke, of course, have been very kind of letting the folks at the Quack Shack sample a variety of sausage, and I can tell you from personal experience, it's very good. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Dan Reinders from Swine Dining Barbecue and Brew right after this on Barbecue Nation.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Hey, welcome back to the Nation, Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. If you ever have a chance to email us or have a question, you can do that at Barbecue Nation. That's BBQNation@KXL.com. If you want to send us a recipe and enter one of our contests, you can do that at recipes@KXL.com. And, of course, Reynolds.
I am the Facebook guy, so Facebook.com/BarbecueNationWithJT.
There you go. We're famous, or at least we think we are. I want to say hi to a couple of our affiliates, KLBM in LeGrand and KWRO in Coos Bay, and, of course, the rest of the people on the and affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network. Thanks for listening today. What have you learned so far, Dan?
It's not as easy as I thought it was.
Yeah?
Opening up my own, it costs a lot of money. Even if the restaurant's already there, it still costs a lot of money.
And a lot more than you thought.
A lot more than I thought, yes.
You got lots of things to deal with just besides opening up the restaurant, making sure you've got the right restaurant equipment and the right number of tables. I mean, you've got licenses and probably some zoning and lots of inspections. And
all that, yep. And I never even thought about all some of the stuff that I didn't even think about.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny. My folks had a retail store for years, and one of the big issues with them, not to get off the barbecue track here, but was signage. They were always fighting the city where they were on signage. It was, you know, they would literally come out with their tape measures and do this number, you know, and they'd say, it's 2 inches too big. Well, the thing's, you know, 6 feet by 8 feet, it's hanging on the side of a building, and they'd say, oh, you're 2 inches too big. You have to change it. Well, crap, you know, that's several thousand dollars to fix something like that. You going through anything like that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I just now got my sign up 2 days ago on the front of the building because of all the issues I was going through with get my permits and and the landlord, because I not only you have to worry about the permits, you have to worry about the landlord too.
Yeah.
Because they want a certain kind or certain size or whatever on their buildings too.
Is there anything different than you expected? I mean, did you envision something one way and actually reality was something different in trying to open the doors?
I guess if you look at signage, I wanted my signage a lot different than what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they wanted block lettering, and I didn't want block lettering with it. So it looks
different. Want, like Roman Gothic or something?
Oh, just some cursive or something fancier than just some block lettering on it. I wanted my picture of my two pigs bigger, too. But they wouldn't let me do that either.
Excuse me. I've never heard anybody say that. I wanted my two pigs bigger.
It's a Midwest thing.
It's a Midwest thing.
Yeah,
that, okay.
That's right. And Smoking Matilda are my two pigs. So,
anything different about than what you expected? I mean, once you open the doors and all the kind of the signage and the variances and all that stuff aside, as far as reacting to the people. By the way, we're talking with Dan Reinders from Swine Dining and Barbecue and Brew. But anything different than that, an interaction to the public? Because when you were in corporate, you didn't have a lot of interaction with the public as far as being behind the counter.
Yeah, no, I'm a lot more in public now.
Yeah.
With doing what I'm doing. I'm doing a lot of advertising right now. I mean, with Five Guys, I couldn't do any advertising.
Sure.
And they didn't allow that. So I'm getting my feet wet with working with newspapers and working with the radio stations and stuff like that to get my name out there. That's what I need to do.
Now, you've got a grand opening coming this Monday, the 26th.
Correct.
And you're doing something very special on that. You want to tell us about that?
For the proceeds for the day, we are giving half of the proceeds to the Wounded Warrior Project.
Okay.
And then also my employees, or any kind of tips that they receive for that day, they will also be giving all their tips to the Wounded Warrior Project, too.
That's pretty cool.
So I'm hoping to have a very big day.
And, okay, give us the address and do the whole thing. Here's your chance to make a sales pitch.
We're at 2067 Northeast Burnside. It's right next to Chipotle out there on Burnside on your way to Mount Hood, just about. We're open from 10:30 to 10 every day of the week. We do a lot of catering, or we want to try to do catering. My phone number of the restaurant is 503-661-OINK. That's O-I-N-K. And people that don't understand that, it's 6465. So
yeah,
on that.
It's like golf is 4653. I can tell you that because a lot of phone numbers I call that have to do with golf, they're always the same. Different area code, different prefix, but golf, 4653. Anyway, yep. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, that's
you.
Fine. We'll be having, like I said, my grand opening on Monday from 10:30 to 10 on that day, or until we run out of food. I don't know how busy we're going to be. So
yeah.
It's not like I can throw food in the microwave or whatever to get it going. Cake and ice cream for everybody too for the grand opening. We'll be having an artist there painting people. Hopefully the chamber will be there at 11:30 to do a rib cutting that we're going to be doing instead of ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
So I'll have plenty of people there for that too. Even have my family flying in from out of town.
Oh, there you go.
To come out.
Well, at least you know what to do with the leftovers if you know.
Well, I hope I don't have any leftovers.
I know. Why did you choose the Wounded Warrior?
I have a lot of my family members. I mean, being in Nebraska, we used to be stationed at Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska. My dad was. I had pretty much, I think, 6 or 7 people out of my family. I come from a family of 10 and that were in the military. I have a brother that's stationed in Washington, D.C. right now. I have a nephew that's stationed up at Lewis McChord. He's going to come down, too, for the grand opening.
Oh, good.
My dad was in the military at Offutt. My father-in-law was in the military. So I'm just kind of attached to the military thing.
Sure.
With it.
You going to cook anything special? I mean, besides the cake and ice cream, because that's not something that's normally on your menu.
Yeah, we're going to have a, not necessarily a limited menu, but we're going to have a sampler platter is what we're going to be serving on Monday.
Yeah.
It'll be a little bit of brisket, pork, and then ribs, because we have a smoked ribs also, and then 2 sides to go along with that, a drink. And then cake and ice cream also.
Drinks are important. At least in my world, drinks are important.
Yeah, most of the time it is, yeah.
Most of the time it is. So what are your expectations out of this? I mean, you don't open a restaurant without the thoughts of I'm going to make money and do this. But what about the personal satisfaction? I mean, is that really important to you? Is that what you're looking for going on to kind of build a little swine dining empire?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely want 3 or 4 of them around the area.
Okay.
I mean, the reason why Gresham, I thought, was an excellent location where I'm at. I'm right off of Burnside. I can't lose on that, I don't think. I want 3 or 4 of them around.
There you go.
And I'm not stopping with one.
Well, I don't blame you there.
That's for sure.
We're going to be back with Dan from Swine Dining Barbecue and Brew. I love that. And he's going to get stuck playing the lightning round with us. So we're going to look forward to that. You're listening to Barbecue Nation on the Radio Northwest Network.
Question for JT? Call him right now at 503-417-9KXL or 877-733-1011.
Oh, yeah, roll on down the highway with Bachman Turner Overdrive here on the Radio Northwest Network and Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Reynolds, and we've got Dan Reinders here from Swine Dining Barbecue and Brew. So, a couple of quick questions before we get into the lightning round here. Has this owning a restaurant now changed your own personal eating habits?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah. I mean, I thought I would be losing weight because I'm walking all around all the time and working all the time, but I think I'm actually gaining weight.
are you sampling and snacking throughout the day?
No, I can't. I don't let my employees do that either. We don't do that kind of stuff, but in the morning time, or in the afternoon when I take my lunches and that kind of stuff, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm snacking all. Yeah. During that time, yeah.
And how have you changed your thoughts about the way you're producing stuff? I mean, everybody, like we talked earlier, everybody's got their ideas at home. And then when you get into the restaurant thing, but if you had to make like mental changes and say that brisket has to go this much longer or this much shorter, or I have to season it this much more. Because when folks are at home and whether they're doing, you know, pellets or charcoal or what have you, and you've got one little, in comparison to what you do, mm-hmm. piece of meat, they're kind of focused on that and that's it, you know. And when you're in the restaurant business, you've got lots of it to focus on.
Yeah, there's a lot more in different sizes, different thicknesses of the meat too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to temp every individual brisket that we do or every butt that we do.
Yeah.
To make it stay in there longer or to pull it out as soon as possible type thing. But I can have anywhere from 10 to 12 briskets on there right now.
Sure.
And we'll have to temp every individual one to see what the temperature is, because we only pull it out at a certain temperature.
So what's your favorite cut of meat that you serve at the restaurant?
I like the pulled pork. Yeah. I think the pulled pork's fantastic.
Yeah. It's very good. He brought it. Folks, if you're listening, Dan brought samples into the studio today, and we warned him. Al McCutcheon and I warned him that this, you know, would be like a swarm of locusts, and it was true.
I mean, I walked up in here and I didn't think anybody was in here, but once we opened up that food, and I mean they were coming out of the cubbies.
They come out, they climb out under the desk, you know, the bats from the seventh floor actually turn into human beings and fly down here and eat.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, they do that. Okay, so you think you're ready to for this lightning round challenge?
I don't think I have a choice.
No, I don't think you do either, but we'll give it a shot. Okay, Dan Reinders from Swine Dining and Barbecue out in Gresham, which, don't forget, folks, his grand opening is Monday the 26th. This is your lightning round. Is there one person on the face of the earth that you wish you could cook for?
My mom.
Your mom?
Yep.
Okay. Why is that?
Because she passed away, I think, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and she never tasted the barbecue that we have now.
Okay. Where's the worst place you ever had to cook?
My mom's house.
Okay.
Well, I mean, she put up some pretty high standards.
Yeah.
And
to
meet those standards, it was tough.
Yeah, moms will do that to you.
You bet.
If you were declared supreme ruler of barbecue for 1 week, what would you decree?
Wow, that's a good question. No sauce on barbecue.
No sauce on barbecue at all?
No sauce at all. Okay. No. Let the guest or let the person that's eating it do what they want to do with it.
Okay. You're not the first person that said that, though. I think real barbecue aficionados, you know, look at it that way.
Yep.
What's the toughest part of your job now? Being patient?
Waking up at 6 in the morning now to get to the store to do my wrap up the briskets and stuff that were in there from the night before.
Yeah. So you're pulling 18s, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, getting there.
Yeah, it's tough.
Unfortunately.
What's your favorite barbecue food? Not even at the restaurant, just overall in general.
Ribs.
Ribs?
Yep, I love barbecue ribs. Yep.
They're pork expensive. Or beef?
Pork.
Pork?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
So what's the best part of your job?
Seeing customers smiling, telling me that it was awesome or excellent.
Yeah.
I mean, I there's nothing better than going up to a table of four and seeing all their plates are empty.
Yes.
With everything. I mean, that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
That they knew that they liked it all and they enjoyed it all.
If you'd have brought any more food today, they'd have probably made a shrine for you out there in the lobby or something at the radio station here. What is the best day for Dan contained for activities outside of the restaurant?
Oh, best day is going home, mow my yard. I love to mow my yard for some reason.
Yep. You like this Forrest Gump thing?
No. I get on my riding lawnmower or my tractor. I live on 17 acres, so yeah. I get on my tractor and get the brush hog going.
That is cool.
That's my savior right there.
Is there anybody you can think of that should not barbecue?
Boy, that's another good question. I don't know. I think everybody should give it a shot. Everybody should try it. And that way they know whether they can do it or not.
What do you think is the toughest skill for a beginner to learn as far as in barbecue?
Probably trimming the meats up.
Trimming the meats?
Yep. Okay. Getting the end of the brisket off. trimming it down.
Okay, which of these would you rather barbecue or smoke? The Thanksgiving turkey, a Yule log, the Christmas goose, or the Easter bunny?
Would I like to?
Yeah.
Oh, the turkey.
The turkey?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep. Sometimes when you say that and they, you know, the Easter bunny thing, they look at you, or if we're doing the thing on the telephone, the interview on the telephone, they're kind of like, what? Easter bunny? Yeah. what's your favorite musical group?
Styx.
Okay. Van Morrison or Tom Jones?
Van Morrison. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Led Zeppelin or Rush?
Oh, wow. That's a big one.
Oh.
That's a draw for me.
That's a draw for you?
Yep.
Okay. If for something that we only got a couple more here. For someone that's new to barbecue or grilling, what would you recommend for them to start with?
Probably the pulled pork. I don't think you can really mess up pulled pork.
Yeah.
Right now. I mean, that's what the what I've come out of the pulled pork right now. And the brisket can get, you got to cut it a certain way. You got to trim it a certain way. You got to make sure you take off the burnt end part of it.
Right.
But the pulled pork is pretty much, we just let it cook and cook and cook and render it and pull it apart.
Right.
So I think that's a lot easier than anything else.
Is there one thing you'd like to put on your plate or on your menu, but you haven't, and because you haven't really tried it yet to experiment with it?
I haven't tried turkey yet.
Yeah.
I haven't tried turkey. I don't know what the leg or the whole turkey trimmings, that kind of thing. I'm not sure about that yet.
Well, you know, like in Texas, turkey legs are big. If you go to the fairs or anything down there, you know, the smoked turkey legs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can tell you a story about that. We took my daughter to SeaWorld when she was very small. She was about 2 years old, and I was doing some work in Texas. And you pay about $1 million to get into SeaWorld, you know, down there. Some other family from Houston was there. It was pouring rain, but they had these smoked turkey legs. And I actually really liked them. So I bought one. I was really looking forward to eating my turkey leg in peace while the kids watched Shamu and all this crap. They were doing the warm-ups. The killer whale comes right up in front of us and, you know, shoots up in the air. And my kid is like, I'm out of here. She climbs up over dad. She's little. And she just like runs up my leg, runs up over my shoulder, jumps over the seats. And she's up on the concourse before we can do that. And she did not want to go back. And so we go outside. And again, it's a thunderstorm. It's pouring down rain and lightning. And my turkey leg got wet. And so that was it. So I can honestly say I've never had a smoked turkey leg in Texas. Anyway.
Yep.
One last thing. Anything you want to do personally in your life that you haven't done yet?
Travel more.
So you bought a restaurant or opened a restaurant and you want to travel more?
I got to get somebody else to run them for me.
Yeah.
Once I get them open, yeah. You bet.
I'm worrying about you. I'm worried about you. Hey, real quick here. Our folks at Bear Mountain, who make the great pellets and stuff that you can use in your pellet smokers. They do a great job because, as I've told you many times, there's no additives, there's no glues, there's no anything. It's just the two woods put together by pressure. They work great. I use them in my own pellet smoker and my Black Olive at home. Well, they also have smokehouse products, as you know, if you have Little Chief smokers or Big Chief smokers or one of their gas smokers like that. Guess what? We've got a contest. Go figure. Here on Barbecue Nation, what you need to do is send us a picture of something you've cooked on your grill at home or your smoker. And if Reynolds and I pick out your picture, we've got a few of these to give away. You get a little smoker box that you can put actually in your gas grill that will turn it into a smoker. So do that and send it to us at barbecuenation@kxl.com. Take us out here with a little more Bachman Turner Overdose, and we're going to be back with Dan Reinders, Swine Dining Barbecue and Brew, right after this.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with Reynolds. You know, Reynolds, that's going to be Dan's theme song there, Taking Care of Business.
That's right.
That's the name of that song. So
that's the one Bachman Turner Overdrive song that I know.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah, that is the one. I remember that when I was a kid. You hear that, and as a kid, you just go, Taking Care of Business.
Yeah. Randy Bachman. You know who Randy Bachman looks like, or used to? Court Johnson over on Kink. He had that look. Court's a big guy, you know.
Big guy, got kind of the curly hair, big beard.
Paint
the picture for the listener.
Yep, that's it. And now we've got our own Randy Bachman here. I don't know if Court can play guitar like that. Anyway, we've got Dan Reinders from Swinedine Barbecue and Brew here. Don't forget, folks, he's got a grand opening coming up on Monday. We will put the address and the phone number and all that stuff on our website and our Facebook and all that. Also, we've got a couple of events. If you just happen to be in Owensboro, Kentucky this weekend, I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't be. They've got the Grilling and Chilling State Championships there. Or if you jump over to Fort Collins, these are all KCBS events. BB Brew for Hope, that's a competitor series. And this is the one I like. The First Tennessee Bank of Muletown has got a barbecue cook-off in Columbia, Tennessee there. I spent some time in Tennessee, and, you know, it was just south of Fort Knox where you used to be.
Yeah, that's why I know Owensboro, Kentucky.
Yeah, Owensboro, yeah. Kentucky.
I can't say it's one of my favorite places in the world.
No. It's kind of like LaGrange, or LaGrange, if you're back there. I spent a lot of time in LaGrange and Simpsonville and all that stuff up there. Anyway, Dan's looking at us like, what in the hell are you talking about there? We're Kentucky State travelers here. Even though I was born here, I spent a lot of time back there. And Reynolds spent some time. He was in the military for a while, and he spent some time back there, too, there. So as far as Monday, are you scared?
Yes, a little. Yep.
Why?
I don't know what the business is going to do. I don't know.
Well,
why.
You never know that.
Yeah. And it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of hard with a smoker, and I don't want to run out of anything, but I don't want to have extra either.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think you'll be all right. I mean, your food is excellent. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I can recommend it. Go out there and have a great time. And you got some kind of killer apple crisp out there, too.
Yep.
That's good.
Apple crisp and cornbread pudding, too, is awesome.
Yeah. I'm a real apple crisp guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why I ordered it.
Sorry, I didn't bring any this morning.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't have lasted 4 seconds with that mess. Your long-term prognostication for the just barbecue and barbecue restaurants in general?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to introduce barbecue out in the Northwest, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there is barbecue places around here, but I'm trying to get started with it.
Well, yours is a little different, you know, because we've got some folks we've had on the show, and they all do a great job. But, you know, Santa Maria style, you've got kind of that Arkansas, you got the Carolina style, you got Texas style, all that. So, you know, you're Nebraska style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Central States, sir. Anyway, Dan Reinders, Swine Dining and Barbecue and Brew, good luck on Monday.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for giving that stuff to the Wounded Warriors. That's kind of a cool thing you're doing there.
Yep, I think so.
Folks, that's going to probably wrap us up for the week here on The Nation. McGarian is on deck as usual, and Bushlack is back there in the weeds somewhere doing something. I'm not sure what it is he's doing. You can check out more of our stuff here at KXL.com/shows. Barbecue Nation, JT, you can do that, and you can see that. And you want to hit him with the Facebook one more time?
I don't, but you're asking me to, so I will.
Okay.
Facebook.com/BarbecueNation with JT.
I like it. I like it when you're cooperative there. That's good. Reynolds is always cooperative, really. Anyway, we got that, and you can check out thecowboycook.com. That's where I reside in other worlds other than the radio world, okay? remember our saying here, turn it, don't burn it. Everybody take care, and we will see you next week. And here's a little more BTO to get us out of your ears for today.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions LLC. All rights reserved, copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is managed skillfully by Reynolds in production compound 4 high above the skyline of PDX, the one with no windows. We'll be back next week with another entertaining and fun edition of Barbecue Nation. At least, that's what we believe. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.